So I think we made it very clear that in the Old Testament, this man or a woman that is a Nazirite would not drink actual wine, would not drink hard liquor, would not put grape jelly on their toast. They would not eat grapes. They just stay away from all of that stuff for them. As a Christian today, taking upon myself to devote my life to the Lord Jesus, I could put grape jelly on my toast, right? And I'd still be a Nazirite. I could eat grapes and I'd still be a Nazirite. So it's not the physical thing. But what are these things now, today, that are, these things are a type of? What are, these are type now. What are the actual things today? So you could drink a glass of wine. You could, if you're over 21, you could grape, you could eat grapes and grape leaves and all of that stuff. You could do all of that stuff, and you still maintain your spiritual condition as a Nazirite. But what are these things? And remember what we said. The word is what will influence you. So it's not what you eat physically. You know, the Lord Jesus said, what eats doesn't really defile. It's what comes out. So now, imagine you are in school and you are taking a philosophy course or some kind of high critical thinking stuff that they teach you. And you take that in and it starts impacting you. Now you start examining everything around you, even the Word of God, in the light of the things that you are under its influence. So you read these kind of books that these atheists are producing. That sounds very lofty. Or because of school requirement, you take some courses. It is okay. Is that going to impact you? Impact your judgment on spiritual matters? You sit around and you watch movies. You watch them on YouTube. You watch them on your computer. And day in and day out, are you watching these things? And after a while, it will influence the way you're thinking. That certain sins that the world are promoting, because you're watching it day in and day out, it will impact your thinking and your judgment to judge like they judge and say, well, this is just a lifestyle. They're okay. Maybe it's a disease. When the scripture call it clearly sin. But you're under that influence. So is that going to impact your judgment? You're listening to music. It's a wonderful thing. Music is a wonderful thing. And then the lyric that you're not really paying attention to, it is working in your subconscious. And these things are beaming and drumming in your head all the time. And then you start, because of certain lyrics that are not scriptural, it will impact the way you think. Mm-hmm. It gives you joy to kind of sit in a class that's full of intellectual people and debate things with them, and it makes, this is really nice. Or it might give you a joy to watch a movie a couple of times and just kind of laugh about it or cry about it, whatever that is. Or listen to music. It's a joy. There is joy about that. That's exactly what we are talking about very practically. Listen, it is easier for them not to drink wine and eat grapes. Trust me, that's the easy part. If it was that case, that would be no problem. But the things that are influencing us every day, that you touch, that you handle, that you hear, that you see, these are what we are talking about. A Nazirite who is devoted for God would make sure that these things would not influence him or her.
That's very important. It's one thing, maybe some of the young people in here think that Uncle Amo is old, and he's not very attached to the rest of us. But I'm a little younger than him, and I can attest to everything he said. And if you want to sit here and say that music doesn't influence you, I can pull you to the side, and I promise you it does. The curses that are going into your ears, they're in your head. They're in your mind. They're going to come out of your mouth eventually, unless you have some, I don't know, unless you can cut it off before it comes out. But the movies we watch and even some of the video games we play and the people we hang out with, it has a direct influence. What you put in is what's going to come out. So just be very mindful. When I was your age, I would have shunned what Uncle Emil said too. But eventually you figure out that you find the root of the things that are going wrong in your life, and you see it's what you're putting in. But I just want to look in verse 3 before we sing a hymn or something like that. We spoke on the strong drink and the liquor of grapes, but it also says moist grapes or dry. So apparently, I mean, I could eat a pound of raisins and nothing would happen to me. So I'm just wondering what the application of the grapes or raisins, in this case, dry grapes, because they don't influence us like wine or strong drink would.
Well, I would think, Matthew, I think it goes partly to what you were saying before, because it's, okay, I'm not going to drink wine. I won't go see a rated R movie, but I could see a PG-13 movie with no problem. It's not going to have that effect on me. I can, you know, I know what to avoid, the really bad stuff, when the reality is when you're told to be separate, you're told to be separate, and that's that. There's no putting your toes in the water to test it. When you're supposed to be separate, you're supposed to be separate. And even something you don't think can influence you and can have an impact. So when we're told to be separate, when the Nazarite is to be separate, completely separate, there's no compromise. Because the second you're compromised, well, the Nazarite-ship ends.
We have to... This is a very, very important question, and it's very important for us to get a hold of. Because it's so easy, on the one hand, I say it's easy, for us, when there is a level of communion and spiritual life in my life, that I'm able to have discernment between what is wrong for a Christian and what is right. The world knows what's wrong. And they can tell us when we're overstepping the line, just as we just heard. They know that. But that's not what it's speaking. Those things are there. Those are for everyone in the camp of the children of Israel there. But this is now specifically for one who is taking a vow. And so the importance is here is not what is wrong with it. That question isn't for the Nazarite. What's wrong with this? The question that is here is, and we'll use the question that the Lord used to his parents the very first time. They had left Jerusalem and he stayed behind. And they're looking for him. And they had to go back and they found him in the temple. And you know what he said? What were you doing here? Why didn't you come along? And the Lord said to his parents, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" The exercise here is what is the question we need to be asking ourselves is what is right with this in accordance to the testimony of the name of the Lord in association with him who is risen and seated at the Father's right hand? And how am I now going to go forward in my life in with that association? Everything else, not the things that I can see are wrong or right and I make a decision for myself, but my heart, as we heard before, and we sang about the love of Christ. Oh, teach us, Lord, thy searchless love to know, that we might be occupied. Is that love that draws us? Then everything else gets separated from, and it's holy unto the Lord. It is, what is it for the Lord? Not is it, what is it for me? What is wrong with it? Those are all the wrong questions for the Nazarite.